Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah on chapter 17. On verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins even to give every man according to his land and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, John's Gospel, please, in the New Testament, on chapter 3. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A final reference in Matthew, please, on chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse number 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Trust the Lord will help us to conclude the meeting upon these verses that we've read. There are many bright intellects in our world, geniuses, scientifically, politically, socially, and you can get the tremendous giant intellects of our age. They sit down sometimes and they go into the depths of things that would lose me continually, constantly. And probably most in this meeting, if you sat down in some of the boardrooms, you'd be absolutely lost in following. But I want to read, I want to look at tonight, and I hope God will help me. Three things that cannot be fathomed by no human intellect, by no human genius, by no scientific research. Nothing within the human breast or the human mind will ever fathom. Number one, never fathom the human heart. You shall never plumb the depths of the human heart. Not one, not all believers together, not all angels of the descended and held a conference to find out. For the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, we're left to this solemn, searching fact. Only God can fathom the depths of the human heart. And I believe it's time that some really got a hold, at least in some measure, that what we're dealing with in the gospel preaching is a background that you need to, in some measure, grasp. And in some measure, capture in your soul. The reason why you need to be saved, and the reason why you need your sins forgiven, and the reason why, my friend, you're not fit for heaven as you were born, because the heart is deceitful above all things. desperately wicked. I want to tell you tonight, if God charged everyone with this tremendous, witty truth tonight, there'll be somebody cry out in the meeting, Lord, save me. We had a woman come to meetings for the first time. I mean, the first time. I love first timers. Somehow about it, you know, it changes your whole message. Anyway, she come to the meeting, but let me give you a little background. Her son, when he got saved, the mother actually looked into his eyes and said, son, if you carry on with what you've got, you'll end up in the asylum, the nut house. And the father took his fist and hit him. That's literally what happened. Father's now in eternity. The son come to those meetings. God saved, I think, a long number of years ago now. Anyway, when we were having the meetings, boy, that man could sing. That man could sing. Brother Robert would attest to this. He could sing. I love to hear his voice in a meeting. It thrilled me. I could nearly give out half a dozen hymns just to hear him sing. In fact, I put on the tape recorder to send some of his singing across the island. We sang that hymn, Ship Ahoy. Boy, I tell you, it was really good. He could sing. Anyway, he said to me one night, he was enjoying the gospel, and sometimes we'd break down and cry, and one thing and another, soft type of a man. And he said to me tonight one night, he said, you know, Albert, he says, I love the gospel. But if there's something wrong with you, David. And then he said, you know, there's one thing I don't think I'd ever see. I'd love to see it. My mother sit in a gospel meeting. He said, I don't think that could ever happen. He said, my mother is bitter, totally bitter, absolutely opposed. To walk inside a gospel hall would be falling to her thinking. He said, what do you think? He said, do you think God could? She said, I'm in despair. And yet she's going to hell and she's now 75 years of age. But I didn't know what to say. Sometimes we have quit so quick and we can think we have all the answers. Yeah, God is able. You almost think you're putting her off and just saying, if we're all honest with that, you know, our faith is pretty small. I just looked at that man. I said, well, I said, you know what? I like to say, and I maybe said it kind of, I hope they said it in reality, and I hope they said it was feeling, but I mean, what could I say? Oh, I said, what? Well, we'll pray about it. There was another sister in that meeting. God bless these women. Soul winners. Very fine souls getting saved in a gospel series. You'll find a woman away at the back of it. Some grandmother, or some mother, or some little maid. Working feverishly, praying, knocking doors, calling people, and getting them out. Well, this woman, she knew her very well, this man's mother. And she was very kind to her and befriended her. She said to me, you know, Albert, I think I'm going to get that woman out. Never forget. The man was sitting up there where Jim Smith was sitting in the hall. And into the hall, I was standing on the platform, just starting to read the scriptures, and I looked, and here comes in this woman and this man's mother. Never forget. She sat toward the back, and I was amazed, you know. I was kind of taken at a short. I hardly know what to do now. And while I was reading, I was looking down at him and I was trying to give him the signal. Your mother's in. I was trying to get it to him that your mother's in. Because he said, no hope. And I was trying to get it across and he smiled back at me. That's all. I wasn't getting anything. So, all right, okay. On preach the gospel. Our God, you know, He can work so quickly. So quickly.
It's not the amount of preaching.
Just an arrow. You'll get out of that meeting and I'll never forget it. When he stood up and he looked around and he saw his mother. But this would go over to his mom. He couldn't say that. There's no fact. When she walked out of that meeting, you know what she said to me? First night, she held my hand tight. She said, "Mister, are you free tonight to visit me?" I said, "Sure. That's what it's all about." Well, I'm telling you that message. I hope you get the point. When I went to that house, she sat me down and she talked. You know what she said to me? "You know, Mr. Hollow," she said, "I am so wicked and so sinful. Would God even bother with me?" You know, we don't get that nowadays. People are trying to make themselves a little better. Or maybe, yeah, we are sinners. We're all sinners. Very few will really take that low place. She said, "Would God even bother with me? I'm so wicked. I'm such a wretched sinner." I said, "Woman, I would love a thousand to say that to me." That's what God's looking for. He's looking for those who will acknowledge desperately wretched, incurable, no hope in ourselves, from head to foot, no soundness, wounds, bruises, and putrefying souls. Isaiah chapter 1, excuse me for getting excited, but it's time you were awakened. Christian's child, don't rely back upon a Christian background and an environment that keeps you in a confinement from getting out into that world. You stop a moment, you're just a poor, lost, guilty sinner. You've just got the same heart as that man, my friend, that murdered. Time we got awakened. Time we got to see our own hearts. Never forget that dear soul. I got down and prayed with her. And after she came out the next night, my preaching partner was preaching on the prodigal. At the end of the meeting, I'm walking down with my Bible bag, look across, she's sitting with her tears tripping down her face. I said, "Oh, I'm glad she's troubled. I'm glad the woman's thinking." Went to the back, shook hands. The brother was with me, shook hands, went up beside her. I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Mr. Hall, I'm sorry to be crying like this, but when that man was preaching about the prodigal, and the father received him for repentance of that," she said, "I just come home to Christ." Oh, I tell you, my friend, this is what we're preaching. And you know, in that series, there were 2 75-year-old saved. And I can see them yet at the piano. One's a beautiful singer. And somebody played the piano, and just I stood back, I couldn't sing. The tears took down my face as I watched 2 75-year-olds awaken down to their feet and come out of Christ. Get you sitting in Victoria Drive tonight out of Christ within a Savior. And you've never taken in the truth. The heart's deceitful. Above all things, desperately wicked. It's incurable. Nothing a man can do or say. No effort, no self-effort. No turning over a new leaf, no reformation. My friend, nothing can remedy the sin-sick soul of a human being. Not one thing. If you could devise. I know we're a little strong tonight, excuse me. I can't be bothered with actors. I used to listen to actors and I went to sleep. But I can't be bothered with actors. I preach maybe too often with a big man, he's a big trumpet voice, and it's very possible in the room. But anyway, I preach with him. But he's a hardy big man. I remember him telling about preaching the gospel there in a little hut one time, and there's a couple of folks come along, and the woman was there for the first time. She was a very sophisticated lady, and, you know, gentle-looking lady, well-dressed, respectable, and
had all the, you know, the trimmings, and there she was.
And the big man preached that night. It actually led to the root. And every tree that beareth not fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said, we're not trimming branches. We want to bring down the tree. And then he started to describe the sinner head to feet. Out walked a proud, haughty woman. High heels tripping.
And she says, I'll not be back.
Now that never happened to me yet, but that it was someday. Don't know what to do.
And some of the battle, oh yeah, some of the battering.
God bless them, but you know sometimes it can be off in their smell too.
Some of the brothers said to the big man,
you should have wanted a little easier tonight. First time in.
And you know, after all, you really went down the line. You tripped it up and down, and you brought down the tree. You didn't leave any.
You should have went easier. The big mom says, she's the only one that had to make in the back of my neck.
Yeah. Thank God for soul winners. The new one, the heart sucks. And the woman was back the next night. You know what she did when she went home? She was heading up the stairs.
Head was fruit, no sun, the swoon, bruising. She said, that man had the audacity of, and I'm here with the church lady.
I teach a Sunday school class. I go to church 3 times a day, and I
read my Bible and I say my prayer. The audacity of that man to stand up and say, from head to foot no soundness, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, they cannot be mollified with ointment. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint.
Before
she got to her bed, she had her Bible.
So I believe the Lord, he said. I can see it happening. He said, that's not the creature. That's God.
That woman come to me night after night. God see her and her husband. I was just home about 8 years ago, home since now, but 8 years ago, I met that same gentleman down country. I said, do you remember when your wife was in old sister?
He says, can I forget? She was really mad.
But he says, her madness turned into sadness, and her sadness turned into gladness. And that's what we like to see in the meetings, friend.
My friend, look, this is what the Bible says. Descriptive language. Incurable in ourselves. Absolutely and totally sinful. Nothing, my friend, to present to God. No works of mine, no merit can I bring. No holiness within.
Again, the Bible says,
our brothers quoted, we're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'm going to stop tonight. Do you believe that? This isn't, my friend, easy believism. This is reality. Do you take God's word for it? Would that we had a brand of preachers of the Puritan age. I would we had a brand of preachers of the Reformers that really preached, my friend, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and the left men absolutely helpless, hopeless, sinful.
Right. Strength.
So someone, that's hard, isn't it? That is hard for me to preach that.
You know why I'm preaching that? I discovered that myself 41 years ago. I can't understand these people.
Oh well.
I was awakened before God. My awakening is the spirit of conversion. My awakening is the spirit of my conversion.
When I come to the spot, I could take you to it, and I said, Lord, my sins are mounting to heaven. How can I stand before the great white throne?
and absolutely lost and be in hell forever. God's looking down at our meeting tonight from seat to seat. He's looking for those that are honest to recognize, this is what I am. And even when I fit it in, I can't even talk. So I'll tell you something right now. After 41 years, I learned it. Oh, God. I hope God will touch you tonight. The heart cannot be found. It's so simple.
Out of the heart proceed all manner. The Bible teaches that.
In Mark chapter 7, I think, I've been told the human heart.
I'm not going to leave you there. I want to think of something else that cannot be fathomed. You know, the love of God cannot be fathomed.
You can fathom the love of God. You can plumb as deep as you like, or you can steer as high as you like, or you can go as wide as you like, friend. You'll never fathom the love of God. When I look at the background of the human heart, sinful, depraved, lost and guilty and vile and helpless, and then turn around from that dark, black background of man's evil and sin, and look at the love of God, I say, oh God, it's incredible that God should love a guilty, vile, condemned, dark world.
Yes.
God so loved. That's the highest note in the universe, friend. God so loved.
That tells me, my friend, there's no partiality with God.
You're living in a world, partiality everywhere. If you've got money, you're in the society. If you've no money, you're down in the bottom of the ladder. And it is even in work. It all depends who you are, who you know, you get the job.
Not right, I've seen that happen.
In my own family. I thought my girl had a job, and she thought she had it, and somebody a little higher, with more influence and more bank money, and a bigger car, and the next thing when she was in thinking she had to go,
the position still.
You know, we're living in a world that's marked by that.
But God's not. There's no partiality with God. Doesn't know that. God loves all men alike. Whether it's the man in the prison, or the man, my friend, in the house, doesn't matter. Whether it's the man in the or the man that's sitting highest, like Mr. Gibbs, with his belly, doesn't matter. I was preaching down the valley and I was trying to get people out to the meetings with Mr. McElwain. We had a little hut there up in the Morden Road. We went all around that area for 2 or 3 weeks, traveled the mountains and got people out, and the people were coming, and we run into a few rough boys, drinkers and all the rest of it, kind of half scared of them. But anyway, I took courage and visited them face to face. I tried to get them out to the meetings. I said, boys, would you like a track? We're not in. Would you like to come to gospel? No. We're not religious, sir. And anyway, we don't believe in that sort of stuff. I said, you mean to say you wouldn't come for one night? I'm hard to put off of that. I said, you wouldn't come for one night? They said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make a bargain. You're in the bargain? I said, okay. If you get Johnny Woods out, we are caught. They picked the worst scoundrel in the whole of Nevada. He's an in jail and out of jail, in jail and out of jail, in jail and out of jail. He fought with his hands. His leg was shot off in a brawl over a car here. Black man. I said, where is it? He said, you know that man you see sometimes traveling up and down an old pink car? I said, yeah. I do see him sometimes. That's Johnny Woods. Yeah, that's Johnny Woods. I said, you get him. I said, you promise that? Yes. Oh, I'll never forget that. That was an episode I'll never forget. It's
And planted in my mind, how could I? Tremblingly I went up to this little shack among the woods and little sand piles all around. And here's Johnny sitting there with a guitar playing and a bottle of wine in one hand. And then he would take his gurgle and start to play. And I knew he was strong looking, even in one leg. I was glad I'm fast in my feet. I always said I always kept my distance. I'm not a fighter, I'm a runner. So anyway, I looked, I said, Johnny, you ever think from the gospel meeting? I said, your name's Albert Hulk. We're up there on the Morden Road there. And Harold Ward, Peter Grand, I said, did you know him properly? He said, yeah, I know Harold. Yeah. Ah, he said, I wouldn't go there. I says, John, it's an amazing thing. I was talking to your so-called friends. And they said they wouldn't come. On that. You would come. I can see his look. He said, you mean to say they think that I wouldn't come? I said, yes, that's what they're saying. There's no hope that you would ever enter into that at all. He says, if that's what the thick of Johnny Woods, what kind of meeting that? But he says, look, I can't go with this bottle. You know, he said, look. I said, you give me the bottle. You ever see a man drool? I said, you give me the bottle. And he gave me the big bottle of wine. Probably cheap wine you could get. Never forget it. And he says, what are you doing with that? Well, you know, those meetings were rather spectacular, and this was a row of good statements that did not come. Johnny with his wooden leg. I'm sorry I can't give you the full story of this. I'd like to have a happy end and it happened. But I'll never forget the night on that wooden floor after the gospel was preached. As we're singing Just As I Am Without One Plea, and before it finished, Johnny got up and was sitting up front. And he walked down, I could hear the clatter of the wooden leg. He scooped them down the center of the hall and out into the dark. Everybody dispersed. And then in comes Johnny. I can see him get big tears rolling down his face. He says, I've been to the war, Mr. Hull. I said, my own father shot my leg off at a card game. I've been in and out of jail. Because I've no mum. It's over. You know what I did with that boy? He was strong. I threw the two arms around him. I said, Johnny, God love you. Listen, friend, there's no one who's done to him or not.
Yes, I could tell you more about it,
but I'm leaving it there. That lives in my mind.
Thank God we have a message.
We can exit upon every heart, the lowest of the low, the highest of the high. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
My friend, there's no reserve of God's love. No partiality. He loved the world, no reserve. He gave his only begotten Son. He held nothing back. He went the whole way. Calvary was the ultimate to show God's love in all its reality and transparency. His eternal love.
If you leave this meeting tonight out of Christ on the road to hell, you'll not leave without this. God loves you. And you'll never fathom it. You'll try.
Beyond human ken, beyond human intellect, beyond human mind.
I never forget when it dawned upon me, the nearest thing I saw to God's love was God's love.
I'm telling my conversion some night, I'm telling it every night, but listen, I'll tell you right now. The thing that struck home to my heart, that I ever saw a demonstration of it, was my own mother.
I know, I've heard people tell me, I've heard, they told me, say, boy, if I'm sure what I think you are, well, I'm not, you will not know. My mother opened the door and brought me in.
Yes, I thought of leaving home.
Yes, I thought of taking the dresses. Yes, I said, God, and pondered another path in another country. Yes, I thought I knew it in another world. But my friend, in my heart there always lives this awful, solemn, stark reality. Albert, your mother loves you. I shall go to the grave and die that way. If you die your sins, then you'll go to hell.
My old boss told me a story when I was up the old stairway. If you've got a mother like that, Albert. That small one,
he emptied heaven, no reserve, stepping into this world,
the Son of God, in human form, moving through earth, and then finally at the cross. What a gentleman.
Oh, that we could lift that high tonight. Oh, that we could tell it to hold a Von Cooper. Oh, I've often said if I had one of those plays, you know the way they advertise? Well, I never own a plane. It'll
probably never happen,
but wouldn't it be nice streaming through the air
over Von Cooper? And a plane, a big thing behind you, saying, for God's
sake. Oh, my friend, the one God. You'll go to sleep tonight in your sins.
God loves you. That's why you're not in bed.
God. You know, when General Booth wanted to break in his fragile block to the slums of London, General Booth worked among the slums in London. He went down there with his wife, picked up the rebels, picked up those who were down in the gutter. Hug them and clothe them and preach them to the silent saved. His great motto was ours. And he wanted to introduce his fragile little daughter into the slums of London, so he took her down. And he takes her down into London and puts her on the street alongside himself as they're walking down into the very slums of Chicago. Grumbling in sin. And she looked across the little fragile girl. She looked across for the first time. She saw two big policemen. And in between the policemen was a woman, disheveled hair, blood flowing down her face, tattered and torn, drunken, a shock of the street. I think brother is finally broken up. Soldier perishing.
Have you got a love for her?
Oh, God of mercy. That dear girl broke from her father. She ran across the street and she threw herself between the two policemen.
Her arms were on that discovered woman. She kissed her in the cheek. She said, woman, God.
They put the woman in the jail overnight. She faced up and down the jail from the cell. She said, where's that girl? Where's that girl that kissed me? Where's that girl that told me God loves me? It permits me to have to see her. Located General Booth, located the fragile daughter, brought her face to face with God. You would have had, I loved him there.
The joy of Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Sorry to keep you over the time. I have to close, leave it. Remember, you can't fathom your own heart just by an acknowledge. And ask. You can't fathom the love of God except a friend. Rest in what God says. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. Forgive us for anything said that shouldn't have been said. And what has been said to thy glory that thou couldst use tonight in this twofold message. Oh God, speak to our hearts, and speak to those sinners who remain in their sins, who have Bibles in their home and Bibles in their hand, and who are brought up in the environment of the wonderful truth of the gospel. Oh God, awaken them to their very depths and grant them out the reality, repentance and salvation. Remember strangers, oh God, we miss some tonight, but thou knowest where they are, and while they're away from the meeting, God could charge home in power their sin and turn them to the Saviour. We limit thee not in thy power. O Lord, visit us, we pray, as return thanks for thy Son. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.